Hello and welcome to episode number 42 of the AFTV Newscast, being recorded June 3rd, 2016. My name is Elias Saba and I run AFTVnews.com, and this is where I talk about the week's Fire TV news. I've got a whole bunch of great stuff to talk about this week. We got some new information about the new 5.2.1.0 software update. Got some new info about what Amazon is up to outside of the Fire TV. Got some new routing information to talk about. So definitely a full packed show. And of course, at the end, I'll always go over questions that you guys have asked me, and I'll try to answer them at the best of my abilities. Of course, I always stream the podcast live on Fridays at 1:30 p.m. Pacific. We've got people already on live who are tweeting away, asking questions. Great to see that, and great to see people are on live. But of course, I always put up the episode after the fact on Saturdays, usually in audio format on TuneIn, on Google Play, on all the big podcast formats sites. And of course, it's always up in video format on YouTube at youtube.com/AFTV News. So let's go ahead and get right into things. All right, first bit of news I wanted to talk about is that Amazon is actually cutting off Fire TV sales to certain customers, at least customers who have been buying a lot of Fire TV sticks. So I got an email from a reader of the site who told me that when they go to try to purchase a Fire TV stick, they get a message saying, "We're sorry, the item has limited purchase quantity. We have changed your purchase quantity to the maximum allowable, and that purchase quantity is zero." So this person is not allowed to buy any more Fire TV sticks. They told me that they have bought about 22 Fire TV sticks in the past. And so most likely this is an effort by Amazon to limit the resellers of Fire TV sticks. There's a bunch of people who buy Fire TV sticks and Fire TVs, load them up with piracy software, and then resell them for a profit. I took a look on eBay, and these Fire TV sticks are going for around $70 or so. And I actually found one listing that has sold over 7,000 individual units, individual Fire TV sticks, just from a single listing. There are several other listings that have sold thousands of units each as well. So Amazon clearly does not like this. The Fire TV and the Fire TV stick are kind of getting this piracy reputation where, you know, they're good piracy devices, mostly because, one, they're inexpensive. I mean, the Fire TV stick is $40, and getting a device that can stream 1080p content very well for $40 is pretty hard to find. And the other thing is that it's running Android, so it's a fairly open operating system. You could do a lot with it outside of what Amazon has built in by themselves. So this post I wrote about the topic has resulted in quite a bit of a discussion. I recommend you check the show notes for the link and read the discussion that's happening in the comment section. But it's kind of a mixed bag, where some people are actually happy that Amazon is doing this because, you know, the pirates that are using the device are kind of ruining it for everybody in a way, because they're using Kodi and they're using these third-party add-ons for Kodi to basically stream pirated content directly through Kodi, through the Fire TV. Even though Kodi itself is not a piracy app, it's not, you know, made to pirate any content, but these third-party add-ons that have been developed for Kodi are being used to pirate a lot of contents on the device, movies and TV shows. So there's always a chance that Amazon is going to limit Kodi use or block Kodi or something like that in the future, mostly because of the people who are using it and reselling it as a piracy device with Kodi pre-installed with these pre-installed piracy add-ons. And so that's one side of it. And the other side is Amazon shouldn't care what these devices are being used for. You know, once they're sold, people should be allowed to do whatever they want with them. Amazon shouldn't really care. I'm not going to chime in on my opinion on it. I mean, you guys probably know my opinion on the piracy thing is I don't cover it at all on the site. I don't condone it. I don't think people should be using these piracy add-ons. But hey, to each his own. I'm not going to sit here and tell you what you should or shouldn't do. You know, everybody can do whatever they want, in my opinion. But hey, it is the case. So if you're in the market for a whole bunch of Fire TV sticks, just know that there's a good chance if you buy too many, Amazon is going to just cut you off and not let you buy any more. It looks like retailers are also limiting purchases of Fire TV sticks. So I heard Best Buy in some stores, actual physical stores, are only allowing people to purchase one at a time. Best Buy's website is only allowing people to order three at a time, and you can pick those up in store or have them delivered. But overall, Amazon definitely is actively working to kind of change the way the Fire TV is being perceived, or the Fire TV is being used. Without a doubt, the banning of Firestarter has to do with all of these eBay sellers that are loading up Firestarter and kind of bypassing the Fire TV interface. And so, you know, there's a good chance that all these Fire TV resellers are the cause for Amazon banning Firestarter, you know, or at least contributing to it. You know, I'm not saying that it's only them, you know. Obviously, Amazon, we've discussed this before in the podcast, where Amazon wants the Fire TV to be used the way they kind of see it to be used, where you're using the Fire TV interface and you're not bypassing all of the ways that they can possibly make money off of you. Again, we've gone over that in detail, but, you know, it is the way it is. I don't think they'll be banning Kodi anytime soon. That's just my opinion, but who knows? But definitely, if they can't get a hold or control a little bit what's going on with all the piracy revolved around the Fire TV stick specifically, because the Fire TV stick is the cheapest one out of them, so that's why it's the most attractive. You know, it's the least investment for these resellers. They can buy it for $40 or even less while it's on sale, and then sell it for, you know, maybe a $20 profit, you know, per Fire TV stick. That is just the case. Definitely wanted to tell everybody what's going on. Definitely encourage people to read the discussion. Voice your opinion. I love to read what people think about this. And so, yeah, it is what it is. All right, moving on. Next bit of news. It's starting to look like possibly the Amazon Fire TV is going to gain TV tuner support. So part of my whole dissection of the new 5.2.1.0 software update, you know, involves looking to see what was added, what was changed. And so a few days ago, I noticed that there's a whole bunch of new library files, Linux library files, that were added with this new software update that have to do with TV tuners. Now, initially, I actually just dismissed it, thinking that this was just stuff that was left over from Android. So with the new 5.2.1.0 software update, Amazon actually incorporated the release of Android 5.1.1 into the Fire TV. Previously, it was just 5.1. And so I thought maybe that this tuner support library that was being added was just part of Android, because Android TV itself is used as an OS for televisions. And so televisions have tuners built in, and so therefore it needs libraries and support for TV tuners. So that initially, that's what I thought. So I didn't really write about this. But then yesterday, Arbox actually let me know that while he was creating the new 5.2.1.0 pre-rooted ROM, he noticed that in the kernel of this software update, that there are references to these new tuner libraries. And more specifically, this one line of comment in the kernel's configuration that says, and I quote, Linux DVB, which, by the way, Linux DVB is that TV tuner library that Linux has. So, quote, Linux DVB for TV tuners needs world read write to allow Amazon apps to configure tuners and display their output. So very specifically, there is a comment in there that says that basically says they're adding this TV tuner support so that specifically Amazon apps can, quote, configure tuners and display their output. I mean, that is pretty solid evidence that the Fire TV is going to gain TV tuner support. Now, possibly not the Fire TV itself, actually, because as I said in this article, there's a chance that they're adding this TV tuner support not necessarily for the Fire TV itself, but for Fire OS to possibly be used as a television operating system. So we know Android TV is getting a lot of popularity with TV manufacturers, and it's being used as the full-blown operating system for the television. So there's literally no other, you know, UI for the TV. Everything is in Android TV. And we know Roku itself has a partnership with TCL, I believe it's called, or TLC. I can't remember the manufacturer name, but Roku itself is actually the operating system on these televisions also. And so there's kind of this like little operating system war going on with television manufacturers, and, you know, between Android TV and Roku right now, possibly. And so I would imagine that Amazon is probably thinking of getting into this. And so adding tuner support would probably be like the first step in making Fire OS an actual operating system for television. So who knows whether this tuner support is going to come to the Fire TV itself or not. I mean, the Fire TV has a full-fledged USB port on the back, and so there are a whole bunch of USB-based TV tuners, and so you could theoretically, with some operating system support, just plug in a tuner on the back and then connect an antenna, and you're good to go to watch and stream live TV through the Fire TV itself. Now, of course, Amazon already sells an HD antenna bundle with the Fire TV. They released this, was it at the end of last year, I believe it was. And it was a little odd that they released this bundle because, you know, the antenna itself cannot be used with the Fire TV. The idea is that you buy the Fire TV and then you connect the antenna to the tuner in your television. But it totally makes a lot more sense to connect this antenna to a tuner that's connected to the Fire TV. And so, who knows? I mean, maybe this is a next generation Fire TV feature. Maybe there's going to be a tuner built into the Fire TV 3, possibly. Again, it's really early to say, but it definitely looks like there's at least hints of support for TV tuners in FireOS. And, you know, it's very interesting to see where it's going to go with this, whether it's going to go for just actual external USB tuner support, actual FireOS running on a TV itself. Maybe Amazon themselves is going to release a TV. I mean, geez, who knows? We'll just have to wait and see, but it's very interesting, and it definitely looks like tuner support in some sense is coming to FireOS. So Ilya chimes in here on Twitter asking, are these libraries on the Fire TV stick? Wondering if down the line with Root and OTG support, we could enable it on the stick. There's a possibility. I haven't actually dug in through. Again, I just wrote this article this morning, so I haven't really dug in so far. I only looked at the Fire TV software. I haven't looked at the Fire TV stick also, but it's very common for Amazon to just include a lot of stuff that in the Fire TV stick's operating system that isn't actually used by the Fire TV stick. Like you say, like the OTG support. Like, for example, I wrote that article about the Fire TV stick being able to support Ethernet adapters, and that is totally not supported, you know, by Amazon, but it's in there. The software and the operating system on the Fire TV stick definitely has it in there to support actual physical Ethernet, you know, USB adapters. So I wouldn't be surprised if the Fire TV stick can actually use USB tuners also, if this does come to the main Fire TV box. So moving on to some other things that the software update 5.2.1.0 adds. I know in last week's episode, if you missed that one, I went over a whole bunch of things. That was a big, heavy, you know, what's new in this new update episode. But there are a few things I wanted to clarify that I have looked into a little bit more, and a few things new that I've discovered and written about. And so the first one of those is this new feature called Voice View that the Fire TV adds. So this new update has added this ability for visually impaired customers and users to navigate through the Fire TV. And so the way you enable it is you actually hold the back button and the menu button on the Fire TV's remote. You hold those just for a few seconds, and then this welcome screen comes up basically. And it teaches you and kind of gives you a little tutorial about what Voice View is. And basically, it's a way to navigate through the Fire TV's interface blindly, essentially. You could literally do it without looking at the TV at all, because it basically reads off everything that is on the screen that your cursor is on. As you can see here, if you're watching the video version, it basically puts a green highlighted square around different elements on the Fire TV's interface. And then you use the right and left directional buttons on your Fire TV remote to move that highlight around, and wherever that highlight is, it actually will read off what it's highlighting. So if you're on a menu item, it'll read off home, your videos, TV shows. But if you move over, for example, onto a TV show, it'll read off the name of the TV show. It's a really interesting feature, really nice feature for those who need it. I'm sure it's going to help a lot of people who, you know, are visually impaired. So it's really nice that Amazon added this. I mean, this feature combined with Alexa's voice capabilities and the expansion of what Alexa has been going through the last few months, it's really making the Fire TV probably like the go-to box for anybody who, you know, is either blind or partially blind, or just has trouble, you know, seeing the Fire TV interface. So I'm sure most of you are probably not going to use this feature and not really interested in it, but it's pretty nice to see that Amazon is thinking about those who do need something like this. The Voice View feature does have this like enhanced navigation mode, they call it, where literally you navigate the Fire TV interface only with the left and right buttons, even though some menus, for example, like the home menu is a vertical menu that normally you would go up and down with, you actually would still use left and right to navigate that one. And then when you're actually highlighting a certain menu item, you're not actually going into it, you're not enabling it. So normally on the Fire TV's home screen, for example, if you navigate down the main menu, the right side of the Fire TV would just keep changing depending on which menu you are on. But in this new enhanced mode, it doesn't actually change and select the menu item until you actually press the center select button. So essentially you're moving a cursor around and then selecting where you want that cursor to go. There are a lot of other little tweaks that this Voice View mode has. So I recommend, if you're interested, check out the article. I'll link it down below. But But really nice to see that Amazon is including features like this in the Fire TV. So the other feature that Amazon added with this new 5.2.1 software update that I mentioned briefly last episode, but I actually got a chance to play with it a little bit more in depth and check it out, is the new parental controls that they've added. So these parental controls essentially let you select what rating level to allow to be viewed through the Fire TV. So before, your only options with the Fire TV's parental controls were to either, you know, not allow any video at all or allow all video. And so if you had it selected to, you know, not allow video, then you'd have to enter a PIN anytime you tried to play anything through the Fire TV's interface. But now there are more fine-tuned controls. And so you have four categories: general, family, teen, and mature. And so those options basically correlate to the standard TV and movie rating system. So, you know, for movies, you've got G, PG, PG-13, and R. And so those are the four options, and those correlate to G being general, PG being family, teen being PG-13, and then R being mature, obviously. And then again, the TV ratings have their own versions. So TVG, TVY, TV-14, you know, that sort of stuff, TVMA for mature. So really nice to see Amazon added this more fine-tuned family control option. And so, you know, like you can see here in the video version, if you're actually looking at a video on the Fire TV interface, it'll show a little line in red with a lock symbol saying that this video is restricted and you're going to have to enter your PIN if you try to play the video. So I'm sure there are parents out there who want to allow their kids to just use the Fire TV how they want without actually, you know, limiting it completely and having to basically go in and enter a PIN anytime anything is played. And so, nice to see that this is added. So there are still the free time parental control options. That's different than this other parental control option. So for those not familiar, free time is mostly meant for younger children, I think 8 years old and younger. And that basically puts the Fire TV into this completely different interface where you have to, as a parent, specifically select videos, TV shows, and games and apps that the child is allowed to access. And so then they get their own personalized interface where they only see those pre-selected items. And so that is still there, and that is different. That has not changed. This is more so for, they say, children that are over 8 years old, you know, maybe 8 to whatever, 14, you know, whatever you think, a child would still need parental controls for. But for those kids who, you know, you don't have to hand pick which items they can see, but you kind of want to just restrict the more mature content, you know, that's what this new parental controls are for. All right, moving on to some rooting news for the Fire TV. I mentioned this in the last episode. It was kind of breaking news at the time, so we learned a little bit more about it right now. But there's a new app called King O Root. That's King with an O at the end, Root. This is different than the previous King Root app. And so it looks like this app can actually root Fire TV sticks running version 5.2.1.0. As I mentioned last episode, it's recommended that if you want to root your device, you can root it with this and then block software updates, or you can just block them now through something like OpenDNS and then root later once a pre-rooted ROM and TWRP recovery is available for the Fire TV stick. We still don't know exactly why, but this King O Root app sometimes is working on some Fire TV sticks that are running 5.0.5.1 also. It's not all the time, meaning it's not all devices that are running that software version, but it does seem like all Fire TV sticks running 5.2.1.0 are able to be rooted with King O Root. So if you're running 5.0.5.1, and you've blocked software updates and you're not able to root with this King O Root, it's recommended that you allow the Fire TV stick to update to the latest 5.2.1, and then you can use this rooting method. It is not able to root Fire TVs or Fire TV 2s. Again, we don't know exactly why that's the case, but there's something specific about the Fire TV stick that is allowing this King O Root to root. So if you're interested in it, link in the show notes to where you can get this app and more information on the whole process. All right, along the same lines of rooting, the new 5.2.1.0 does block the A-to-A USB rooting method that is capable on the Fire TV 2. Now, this is basically the first rooting method that came out for the Fire TV 2. It was originally developed by Eric, who goes by ZeroPoc, and then kind of improved by Rbox. I've written several guides about it. I'll link to those in the show notes. But I did verify myself that the new 5.2.1.0 software update does block this rooting method now. And so if you have a Fire TV 2, you can still root that device from 5.0 through 5.0.5 with King Root. But if you're on 5.0.5.1, you can use the A to A USB method still, but then After that, you're out of luck. There's currently no way to root a 5.2.1.0 Fire TV 2. So as I mentioned, there's ways to block these software updates if you are looking to root the device. But something that this new 5.2.1.0 software update has changed is that you can no longer block software updates on a Fire TV or Fire TV stick running this latest version if it is not rooted. There's basically generally two ways to block software updates. It's either on the device itself, meaning you're disabling the actual software, the actual application on the Fire TV or the Fire TV stick that is responsible for checking for updates. And then there's a way to block the software updates externally. So essentially either through your router or through a service like OpenDNS, you're basically blocking the Fire TV from being able to access those domains that the Fire TV uses to check for updates or to get back the update download file. And so previous to this 5.2.1.0 software update, you've been able to disable the update application on the device itself, even if you weren't rooted. But now Amazon has removed that ability. And it was actually pretty strange that that was there in the first place, because previously on Fire OS 3, you were not able to block the update application or disable it in any way on the device itself unless it was rooted. But I think Amazon kind of forgot to close this one aspect of Fire OS 5 where you could actually use this PM hide command that would actually, you know, basically disable the actual update application on the device. And so now if your device is updated to 5.2.1.0 and you want to block software updates, you know, most likely your best chance is to use OpenDNS, because most routers are not able to actually block the HTTPS download domains that Amazon uses for downloading updates. And so, of course, all of this is listed in detail in my blocking guide. You can find that at aftvnews.com/block. It'll go through all the different steps and which ones will work for your device, depending on which software version you are, whether you're rooted or not. And so just definitely wanted to let people know that if you do update to 5.2.1.0, you can no longer actually block on the device itself if you are not rooted. Now, for those of you that are rooted and you have a Fire TV 2, the good news is that RBox has released his pre-rooted 5.2.1.0 ROM. And so basically this allows those who are already rooted and have installed the TWRP custom recovery, it allows them to update to the latest software version without losing root. Now, I was able to get this update URL, pass it over to RBox, and he was able to create this pre-rooted ROM. I haven't received the Fire TV 1 update yet, or the Fire TV stick update, so I haven't passed those over to RBox just yet, so that's why those haven't been released. But once I do receive those Fire TV 1 and Fire TV stick updates, I'll definitely pass over those update package URLs to RBox, and so he'll release the 5.2.1.0 pre-rooted ROM for the Fire TV 1, and then when he eventually does release the TWRP and pre-rooted ROMs for the Fire TV stick, which he hasn't done yet, he's still working on those, he should be able to have the latest version, the latest 5.2.1.0 pre-rooted ROM for the Fire TV stick as well. Now, just to clarify, I know there's often a lot of confusion with these pre-rooted ROMs. These will not allow a non-rooted device to gain root. These are only for devices that are already rooted, and so it allows those devices to update to the latest version while keeping root. And so your device has to already be rooted to install this pre-rooted ROM. I'll put a link in the show notes to, you know, instructions on how to determine if you can root your device, and as well how to install this latest pre-rooted ROM if you are already rooted with TWRP. All right, next up, let's talk about some app news and deals that are floating around this week for the Fire TV. First new app that I wanted to mention is this DVB Link Theater app that just got released this week. It's actually a bit of a complicated piece of software, but it allows essentially you to set up your own TV tuner server on your network and then stream that content over to the Fire TV and view it through this DVB Link application. And so if you're familiar with devices like the HD Home Run or the Tableau, basically those are companies that sell these boxes that basically are networked tuners. So you essentially connect the box to your network, connect the box itself to an HD antenna, or in the case of HD Home Run, you can actually connect it to a digital cable even. But it allows basically you to stream that content that you get through either the antenna or through your cable to other devices on your network like the Fire TV. But the thing with those devices and that software is you have to buy their hardware. But this DVB Link software, basically, they sell the software that lets you install it on either your PC or a NAS device, or a network attack storage device. And so You can basically just take your own tuner, either a tuner card or a USB tuner, connect it to your computer, install their software, and then install this application on your Fire TV. And your Fire TV will then see that server, that TV tuner server on your PC, and be able to stream that content as if the tuner was connected to your box itself. And so again, it might be a little bit confusing, but it's kind of like a roll your own Tableau. You know, that's the best way to describe this. Definitely check it out. My article includes a lot of links to their server software, to the free app software, and so you can check it out. The server software is not free. It's a bit pricey. It's right around $50 or so. But they do have a 20-day free trial to kind of figure out if it's right for you, so you can install it, try it out. You know, all the features are unlocked there. So if you already have a USB-based TV tuner or a TV tuner card on your PC, you can actually now stream that content to the Fire TV possibly. And so definitely check this out if that interests you. All right, moving on, some app deal news real quick. So we got this game Super Pixelo. It's down from $2.99 to 99 cents. This is the cheapest price this game has ever been. It's kind of like a side-scrolling platformer game. There are, I think, over 100 levels. Yeah, 127 levels. Very simple graphical game, but still very difficult to actually play. So it's a really fun game, definitely worth checking out and picking up while it's at this lower price. Also in app deal news, there's a game, Two Wheels for Life. It's actually free currently. Usually it sells for 99 cents. And so if you're looking at this, it's like a motocross kind of stunt game where you're driving this little motorcycle on ramps and that sort of stuff. So if you're into this kind of game, and it's, especially because it's free, you should probably go pick it up before it goes back to its regular 99 cent price. And lastly, this game, well, sort of a game, but it's called Dissonance. Usually it goes for $2.99. It's down to 99 cents. This is the first time it's ever dropped down to this price. It's labeled more as an interactive novel, so it's not so much of a game, but there is this kind of puzzle aspect to it. So it's a lot of like kind of choosing your adventure type of thing, where you're reading through what's going on and making decisions in the actual novel. So if you're interested in that sort of thing, more of a more relaxed game to play on your Fire TV, definitely check out Dissonance Interactive. All right, lastly in deal news that I definitely wanted to mention real quick, Amazon has put a bunch of these Amazon videos on sale. So there are 30 or so movies that are available right now for either $3.99 or $4.99. These are the lowest prices that a lot of these movies have ever been. So if you're looking to buy some new content and beef up your Amazon video library, definitely check this out. Just to go real quick, some of the movies that are available, A Most Wanted Man, Warrior, Ender's Game, The Lincoln Lawyer, Warm Bodies, 310 to Yuma, Kick-Ass, Escape Plan, those are all $3.99. Some of the $4.99 movies are Divergent, Hunger Games, The Duff, a couple of Twilight movies, Red, Hurt Locker, Pulp Fiction. So definitely a lot of good deals going on Amazon videos. Put a link in the show notes to the deals there if you're interested. And definitely also wanted to mention, just because I'm a 90s kid, the original Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtle movies all just went on sale right now for $4.99 on Amazon. And so that's the original Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles 1, 2, and 3, you know, Turtle in Time. So I don't know, you know, if you want to get nostalgic and watch some of these older Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtle movies, this is a good opportunity. I mean, it's a dollar more than the rental price, so you can own these for. Also, the TMNT movie, that it's an animated movie that came out in 2007. That one is also available for $4.99. So if you're interested in that. All right, next, moving on to some non-Fire TV news that is still fairly relevant to Fire TV owners. Amazon apparently is testing out a new ultraviolet-like service where they are actually offering free digital versions of movies that are purchased on Blu-ray or DVD through Amazon. So it looks like right now they're only testing out this service in Germany. So there's this German Blu-ray forum where a couple people have been commenting that they've been getting these emails from Amazon where they're getting this free content, basically free digital content, free copies of Blu-rays and DVDs that they've purchased. And so if you're familiar with Ultraviolet is a similar service where when you buy a Blu-ray or buy a DVD, it often comes with a code that you can enter that into an Ultraviolet account, and then you'll have basically access to a digital copy in the cloud, in a cloud locker, they call it. This is Amazon's basically version of that, because Amazon notably is not a member of the Ultraviolet Alliance, essentially. You know, Amazon, Google, Apple, and Disney, those are the four big names that are not part of this alliance that kind of contributes into this cloud locker when you purchase content. So there's definitely some mixed response to this type of service. You know, a lot of people just want Amazon to join the Ultraviolet Alliance, and so that anything you buy anywhere else will be available through Amazon on the Fire TV. But for whatever reason, Amazon and these other big companies have chosen not to join the Ultraviolet Alliance. You know, most likely it's just not financially, you know, a good decision for them. That would be my guess. There's probably not enough kickback from the whole alliance, you know, to be part of it. You know, it is what it is. I doubt Ultraviolet, the actual official Ultraviolet, or Vudu, which is kind of like an offshoot of Ultraviolet, I doubt that will ever come to the Fire TV. The Fire TV used to have a Flixster app, and that used to be the only way to view Ultraviolet content on a Fire TV. But Flixster a few months ago has dropped Ultraviolet support on the Fire TV, and so there's literally no way to view any Ultraviolet content on the Fire TV right now, as far as I'm aware of. And so it looks like maybe Amazon was going to try to roll their own version of this. And so if you're looking to still buy Blu-rays or DVDs, potentially down the line you'll be able to get digital copies of all of that content. All right, last bit of news before we go into the Q&A section. I definitely did want to mention that Alexa has now grown to over 1,000 skills available. For those who don't know, skills are kind of like apps for Alexa. They're created by third parties, so it's not associated with Amazon in any way. Anybody, any developer can really create a skill and have it published and be available through Alexa. And basically, Alexa skills expand the capabilities of Alexa. And so there are now 1,000 different additional things that Alexa can do. I mean, this number has been growing very quickly. Alexa has been getting a lot of support from developers lately, and so you can go to either the Alexa app on a smartphone or go to alexa.amazon.com and you can browse through skills that way. But I also wanted to mention that Amazon themselves have actually released a web-based Echo simulator. So this is mostly for developers to test their skills that they're developing if they don't have an actual Echo or Fire TV or some kind of Alexa enabled device. But it's not limited to developers. You don't have to actually have a developer account with Amazon to use the Echo simulator. And so I mention it now because it's actually a really nice way to test and try out other Alexa skills that you're kind of considering installing. And so what you could do, for example, is open up the Echo simulator, which I'll put a link in the show notes to that. You can open up that in a browser, or, you know, in a tab in your browser, and then in another tab, open alexa.amazon.com, and then look through the list of skills. And when you see a skill that you like, you enable it, and then you can actually switch over to the Echo web simulator and actually try the skill out. And it's a lot easier to do it that way, in my opinion, than to, for example, have the Alexa app open while you're in front of your Fire TV, enable a skill, wait a few seconds for it to become available on the Fire TV, and then test it on the Fire TV and see what it's like. Because a lot of times with these Alexa skills, you don't actually get a good sense of what they can do and how well they can achieve what they claim they achieve. Just through their web description, you kind of have to try them out yourself to kind of get an idea of what they are. And so this is an easy way to just browse through in one tab, enable Alexa skills, and then on the other tab, actually try out the skill. And so I'll put a link in the show notes to all of this stuff, of course. But, you know, definitely wanted to mention that Alexa skills have been growing very rapidly. So maybe you'll find something that you can actually use there. All right, let's move on to the Q&A section. As always, on Thursdays, I put up a post asking people to comment and ask questions that they might have about the Fire TV for me to discuss or for me to answer. Also have some coming in here on Twitter live. So people can always tweet me at AFTV News live while I'm streaming for me to answer questions. Got one here from Philip on Twitter. He says, question for the Q&A, do you know of a way to screen record on a rooted Fire TV? So Philip, I personally actually use an external hardware recorder called the Elgato HD60. I know that's probably not what you're interested in doing with the Fire TV, but that is what I use. It works really well. Just wanted to put that out there. I haven't tried actual software methods of recording the Fire TV itself. I did receive an email about a month or so ago from somebody who said that this one piece of software, this one app, works really well on the Fire TV. It actually does record the screen of the Fire TV. And so I can't remember it off the top of my head, but I'll definitely put a link to it in the show notes after the fact when I go back and look it up. All right, next question here from Joe on Twitter. He says he has a Fire TV One. It's rooted and unlocked bootloader. He's wondering if he should uninstall Firestarter before using RBox's latest pre-rooted ROM. You don't actually have to. The new 5.0.5.1 software update and RBox's pre-rooted ROM, once you install that, it will disable Firestarter, but it won't actually cause any issues or uninstall it. And so since you're rooted, you'll actually be able to go back in and basically re-enable it. You basically just have to run the command pm enable and then the actual Firestarter application name. I'll put a link in the show notes of this episode once it goes up a guide on how to do that, exactly that, but you don't actually have to uninstall it, but it will probably disable it, but you'll have to go in. Since you're rooted, you'll be able to easily go in and re-enable Firestarter. All right, next question here from Miss the Man. He says he has a Fire TV stick and he has a lot of sideloaded apps installed like Perfect Player, UK TV Now, and Kodi, and he's not seeing them show up in the home apps recent section or the app section, and he's wondering why that is. And he says he uses Firestarter, so most likely what's going on is that when you launch an app within Firestarter, the Fire TV interface has no way to know that the app was launched, and so it never shows up in the actual home screen's recent section. So my suggestion there is to go into the Fire TV settings, go into the application section, the manage applications, launch the app from there. When you launch it from there, it'll actually then show up in the home screen's recent section. If you go to your app section, it should definitely be there, but if you've purchased the app previously from Amazon's website, you know, for like a smartphone, for example, I'm not familiar with these two apps specifically. Sometimes it doesn't show up in the app section due to this little bug that has to do with the fact that you've actually made the purchase officially, but it's not an official Fire TV app. I'll put a link in the show notes to a guide on how to make that show up also. So most likely one of these two issues is why you're not seeing these apps, these sideloaded apps, show up on your Fire TV's home screen and app section. All right, next comment here from Brad. He wanted to let everybody know that the application called Paragon is actually capable of mounting NTFS drives on rooted first-gen Fire TVs running Fire OS 5. So thanks for letting us know about that. It's kind of on my list of things to test out personally. And so I'll probably have an article about NTFS drives and mounting them coming out somewhat soon. But he had a question saying if there was a way to disable the pop-up message that appears on the Fire TV that basically complains that the drive is an NTFS drive and actually asks to format it. I don't know of a way to block that message right now. I'll definitely look into it and make it part of my NTFS drive article that I'm planning to write fairly soon. So look for that. But sorry right now, Brad, that I don't know of a way to disable that message since I haven't looked into it just yet. All right, next comment here from Adam. He's kind of concerned that Amazon is putting in some kind of Trojan horse into these updates that in the future will kind of, you know, unknowingly allow them to slip in an update or enable updates or do something like that that will basically unroot his device and you know, prevent him from doing what he wants with the device. Wondering what my thoughts on that are. To that I say, of course, it's absolutely possible for Amazon to do just that. It's possible for them to slip something in there that later in the future they can flip on and can, you know, install an update, unroot a device, uninstall applications. Definitely is possible. You know, whether they'll do that or not is the bigger question. You know, it's possible because, you know, they control the software. They control what everything that goes into this thing, into the Fire TV. They control how it connects to servers. You know, they made the switch from non-HTTPS to HTTPS based updates, you know, and so that did affect older devices that thought they were safe, but you know, that made the switch. And so to that, there's no way to know. He's asking if myself or RBox is sifting through these updates to know for sure whether they're slipping something in like that. You know, these updates have so much going on in them that there's no way anybody, myself or RBox, will be able to detect something like that, you know, because we can't possibly look through everything. We can only see the update, see what it's doing after the fact. And so I wouldn't be too concerned. You know, definitely you have to stay on top of things if you do want to keep your device rooted. You want to make sure to know the latest news, know what these new updates are doing, and know if Amazon has changed anything. But usually we find things out fast enough to where people who are rooted and people who want to stay rooted can do something to stay that way. There again, there's no real 100% way to know for sure that you'll always have the device rooted and you'll always be able to block software updates. But it's pretty safe the way things are going right now. You know, Amazon hasn't just outright, you know, slipped in something, you know, secretive that has unrooted a device and forced an update. You know, they've made little changes here and there, which makes sense. You know, switching from a non-secure to a secure way of pushing out updates is a normal thing. I mean, Amazon.com itself, you know, just their actual retail site, has been making the switch from non-secure to secure web serving. You know, if you go to Amazon.com, a lot of times you're getting switched to a HTTPS version of the site. And so it just seems like a common thing that a lot of companies are doing. And so that's why they've made this switch. It's not necessarily a way to, you know, nefariously get in there and try to, you know, pull back these devices. I mean, I would imagine that the percentage of rooted devices to all Fire TV devices is very tiny, and I don't think it's a big concern for Amazon. So I wouldn't be too worried about it, but, you know, definitely you have to stay on top of the news if you want to keep your roots, you know, moving forward. All right, next question. On a similar note from Philip here on Twitter, he says, I recently updated my Fire TV 2 to RBox's latest 5.2.1.0 pre-rooted ROM. He says, I already had updates blocked. Do I have to block them again? No, you don't. The disabled app that you have done on your rooted Fire TV stays blocked when you install a new pre-rooted ROM. So you definitely don't have to re-block updates every time you install a new pre-rooted ROM. The only time you have to re-block those updates is if you perform a factory reset. Now, when you do a factory reset, that does re-enable software updates on the device, so you have to redo the blocking. Next question here from Tony. He says he has a Fire TV 1 running the pre-rooted Fire OS 3 software, and he's wondering if it'll ever be too late to make the jump over to Fire OS 5 pre-rooted software versions. The only concern there is that Amazon does something to where your software blocks on the Fire OS 3 device no longer work, and it updates to the stock Fire OS 5 version. That's really your only concern, but it's a very tiny concern because you have the Fire OS 3 pre-rooted ROMs installed, you have Clockwork Mod installed, and Clockwork Mod itself will block the over-the-air software updates. So even if Amazon slips in an update somewhere, when your Fire TV box restarts and it goes into recovery to install the update, the official update, Clockwork Mod will block that update. And so you still should have software updates disabled on the device itself, but there's really no concern, and, you know, it'll never really be too late, because even if down the line Amazon releases an over-the-air update that does a lot of this stuff, you can always still update to the existing pre-rooted ROM. So RBox has released the 5.0.5.1 pre-rooted ROM, and soon, once I get him the 5.2.1.0 pre-rooted ROM file, he'll be able to release that also, and you'll always be able to update to those versions. So there's no concern about waiting too long. All right, next question here from Tom. He says, if he roots a 5.0.5 Fire TV 2 using my guide, he has it linked here, and in step 34, he says, can he just install the latest 5.2.1.0 pre-rooted ROM instead of the older 5.0.5? Pre-rooted ROM, which is matching the version that is on his device? To that, yeah, absolutely. You don't have to install incremental updates. You can jump right to the latest pre-rooted ROM for the Fire TV 2, also for the Fire TV 1, actually. And so, yeah, there's no reason to install the older versions. You can jump right into the latest one, regardless of what version is already on your device when you do the rooting and you undo the whole installing TWRP process. Tom's also asking, what does the Sloan file actually do to the device that he does in step 34? And by Sloan file, he's referring to the actual pre-rooted ROM Sloan file. Sloan is the code name for the Fire TV 2. That's why those files are labeled as Sloan. What that actually is doing is it is actually formatting the entire operating system on the Fire TV and reinstalling it. You know, that Sloan file, it's a complete copy of the system operating system on the Fire TV 2. And so when you do that, you're basically wiping everything out and installing a pre-rooted version of the default stock operating system. So that's exactly what that does. That's why, like I just said, I recommend those of you who have rooted with unknown methods like kingroot or kingoroot. When you install the pre-rooted ROM, you're wiping out the entire operating system. So regardless of what those rooting methods have done to the device, you're basically formatting and reinstalling the operating system. And you know RBox's versions are clean, because all he does is he takes the stock software update, the stock full version of the OS, adds his just a few little files that make it a pre-rooted version and releases it. So he doesn't make any other changes, so you know it's nice and clean and pure. All right, next question here from Irish Biker. He says he has a Fire TV 1 and Fire TV 2 that he has rooted, and he has blocked software updates with OpenDNS, and he's wondering if those software updates will actually block app updates as well. They won't actually block apps from the Amazon market, you know, the actual Fire TV app store, but they will actually block default system apps. For example, the Fire TV has the music app that handles basically the music section of the Fire TV's home screen. That is actually an APK file, and that actually does get updated from the same servers that Amazon releases the over-the-air updates from. And so, yeah, blocking updates through OpenDNS will block those apps from being updated, those default system apps. But it's not a concern. I haven't actually written a guide on it or even posted about it, because when you install the latest pre-rooted ROMs, those come with all of the latest versions of those system apps included. And so you're basically manually updating those apps yourselves every time you install those pre-rooted ROMs. You might not get over-the-air latest versions that might be released, you know, in between software updates. You know, for example, when you installed the 5.0.5.1 pre-rooted ROM, at some point Amazon might have pushed out an update to the music app on the Fire TV, and you wouldn't have gotten that update until you installed the 5.2.1.0 pre-rooted ROM. So yes, you are blocking those system app updates. No, you are not blocking regular app updates like Netflix or, you know, Hulu or anything else from the actual Fire TV app store. But it's not a concern that you're blocking those system apps, because as long as you keep installing those pre-rooted ROMs, you're getting those updates anyway. Irish Biker also asks about a working VPN solution for the Fire TV. I haven't tested it myself, but I have heard about this one VPN app that actually works on non-rooted devices as well as rooted devices. Again, I haven't tested it myself to know for sure, but I'll put a link in the show notes to that specific VPN app that supposedly works on the Fire TV. All right, next question from John Grover. He says he's in the UK and he hasn't received the new 5.2.1.0 software update on his second generation Fire TV. He's wondering, has Amazon pulled the update or are other people still waiting for it? Absolutely, other people are still waiting for it. I have not received this update on all of my devices yet, so it is still rolling out very slowly. This is very common for the way Amazon does things. They'll usually release the software update in an early batch to devices and then kind of slow things down just to make sure there are no issues that come up. But people are still receiving these software updates. So if you haven't received it yet, don't be concerned. You know, it's common for it to take a few weeks to make its way out to all of the devices. Next question here from Simon. He says, Jeff Bezos has been in the news recently talking about not allowing Android TV and Apple TV boxes to be sold on Amazon. Any thoughts? Yeah, I did hear about this new stuff that Jeff Bezos, the CEO of Amazon, has been saying. He was at, I think it's called the Code Conference, if I'm not mistaken. Recode.net does this annual conference where they bring in a bunch of CEOs and they talk to him. And Jeff Bezos, the CEO of Amazon, was one of the people who was at this conference. And one of the questions, I think it was from Nilay Patel at The Verge, if I'm not mistaken, asked him about, you know, why he doesn't allow Android TV boxes and Apple TV boxes to be sold on Amazon. I've gone over this in detail, you know, back, you know, last year, I think it was, when Amazon first made this announcement that they were going to stop selling these boxes. So I'll put a link in the show notes to those articles I wrote there. So if you really want to know what I think, definitely check out those articles there. But Jeff Bezos hasn't really said anything new in the latest interview he did. I think he did mention that the reason was that the business terms were not favorable. And that kind of goes along the lines of what I kind of theorized. The reason they, you know, Amazon is not selling these boxes basically has to do with in-app purchases. Again, this is all very detailed in my article about this. But what it comes down to is that Amazon doesn't want to pay Apple or Google the 30% cut for in-app purchases within an Amazon video app. And so that's why they haven't released an Amazon video app for these devices. And therefore, they don't want to sell devices that they cannot release an Amazon video app for. What I mean by cannot is, you know, obviously they can still release it. There's nothing stopping them from releasing it, but they financially feel that it's not in their favor to release an app on these devices. And yeah, I think ultimately what it comes down to is that Amazon is spending a lot of money on Amazon Video, and they probably feel that it's getting to the point where Amazon Video is going to become an app, if it isn't already, that devices like Android TV devices and Apple TV devices are going to want to have on their hardware. And for example, Netflix is at that status. You know, if a device comes out that doesn't have Netflix installed, it's going to hurt that device. You know, so there's an incentive by hardware manufacturers and TV box operating system manufacturers to have Netflix on their box because it's going to sell a lot better if it has that. And so I think Amazon is trying to position Amazon Video as that same status, you know, because they've been spending so much money, buying content for Amazon Videos, Prime specifically. I think they said in 2014, they spent $1.4 billion buying content for Amazon Prime Video. In 2015, they spent $3 billion, I think it was. And I'm sure in 2016, it's going to be a lot more. So clearly, they keep spending a lot more money making Amazon Video something that people want, specifically Prime Video. And so going back to Netflix, Netflix made a deal with Apple where they only pay 15% of all in-app purchases done on the Apple TV. And so if you sign up for Netflix on the Apple TV, Apple doesn't get 30% of your subscription. They only get 15% of your subscription. And so my guess is that Amazon tried to make some kind of arrangement like that with Apple and with Google, and maybe either got declined or maybe wanted less than 15% and didn't get it. And so this is probably the root of why Amazon is not, you know, selling these devices, and Amazon doesn't have an Amazon Video app for Android TV or for the Apple TV. Again, Jeff Bezos didn't really say anything new other than the whole unfavorable business terms thing. And, you know, he's not going to reveal what's going on behind the scenes there, but it's pretty safe to assume that it all comes down to this whole in-app purchase thing. And again, I wrote about this in detail back when this stuff all first came out. I'll put a link in the show notes to all that stuff. All right, next up, we got a set of questions here from Ray. First up, he's asking if there's an ETA on when Arbox is going to release the 5.2.1.0 pre-rooted ROM for the first generation Fire TV. I'm the one who gets him the update package, which he then uses to create the pre-rooted ROM. And I have not received the first generation Fire TV 5.2.1.0 pre-rooted, update package. And so, you know, at the very least, he can't create it until I get that to him. And there's no way of me knowing when I'm going to get that. That's just up to when Amazon decides my first generation boxes will get that update. And so, yeah, to answer the question, no, there is no ETA. There's no really way to know when that's going to come out. All right, next, Ray is saying that he installed the 5.0.5.1 pre-rooted ROM on his first gen Fire TV using TWRP. He's wondering if he needed to install the previous ones first. As I mentioned in a previous question that was actually asked, no, you can jump right up to the latest version. He's also saying that his device had to go through the initial setup process and it checked for updates, but it did not download the 5.2.1.0 software update, and he's wondering, had it downloaded it, would TWRP have avoided it? So it probably would have downloaded it, rebooted, gone into TWRP possibly, but TWRP would have blocked the update. But you would have possibly gone into a boot looping thing where it would basically try to go through the initial setup and always download and restart and try to install the update. And so that's why you still should be blocking software updates using the OpenDNS settings, just to avoid that, even though you have TWRP installed. All right, that'll conclude the 42nd episode of the AFTV Newscast. Thank you so much for watching. Everybody who's watching live, I really appreciate that. As always, I stream every Fridays at 1:30 p.m. Pacific, and I welcome people to watch live. Love when people do that. They interact with me on Twitter. It's always fun, always a good time. But of course, you can always get the podcast episode after the fact, either through the audio version, on iTunes, on Stitcher, on TuneIn, on the Google Play Music app, a whole bunch of places. And of course, on YouTube, if you are watching this on YouTube, please hit that like button. I really appreciate it. And subscribe to my YouTube channel, youtube.com/AFTV News. Growing, almost hitting that 2,000 subscriber mark. So really excited to hit that. So please do subscribe. Please do hit the like button. And hopefully I'll see you guys next week.